James chapter 1, verse 17, we're going to pick up a verse and jump into a study tonight. We're going to do a little study tonight. And I promise, if you choose not to be bored, I will not bore you. So that's my deal proposition here. You choose not to be bored, and I will not bore you. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Let's pray, and we'll jump in. Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the opportunity to get together and to open your word and to sing songs that praise you. And Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts tonight and that you would change us to be more like Jesus and help us to understand how to live this life that we have to live on this earth. Lord, we love you. Help us to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from the Father. God is the source of all good gifts, all goods, all gifts come from God. And tonight I want to talk about music. Music's a gift from God. Zephaniah chapter 3 tells us that God sings. The Lord God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. God sings over his people. God rejoices. God likes to hear singing. You know, he surrounds himself with people who sing. In Job chapter 38, verse 7, when God was laying the foundations of the world and creating things, it says, the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. We have angels singing in God's presence. Later on in the book of Revelation, several times, there are people singing, the 24 elders, the four beasts, they sing a new song, Worthy is the Lamb. Later on, the redeemed sing a new song in chapter, I think it's chapter 15. There's another group of believers who are singing in God's presence. God's people throughout the years have been a musical people, people who sing, and they will be a musical people. In Revelation, we read several places where God's people are singing praise to him. Music's a gift. God's people are a musical people. Now, did I say all God's people are musically blessed, musically talented? That's not in the Bible, but God's people are a musical people. They sing. God sings. God likes to hear singing. I would like to ask the question tonight, why did God give music? Maybe the question would be, for what purpose should we have music in our lives? Now, music is something that is very intrinsic to who we are. It is part of who. Can you imagine a world without music? Elevators would be quiet. Restaurants, you could actually hear the person you're talking to. Shopping malls, your car, when you get in, all you hear is the honking of horns. Well, not even that, because those are oftentimes arranged in chords and they're notes and pitches, and that's almost a blip of music at a time. Can you imagine a world without music? How would you express joy? If you're a poet, you could just write down some words and they could rhyme and then you could recite them. If you're an orator, you could quote someone's poem about joy, but what if you didn't have music to express joy? How would you express sorrow? Now, there are ways to express things, but I want to ask a question. Why did God give music? For what purpose should we use music in our lives? And perhaps this will help you, because perhaps there's music that you're using in your life thoughtlessly. Elevator music. Yeah, nothing else to do. I get in my car, I put my seatbelt on, because that's what driver's ed taught me, and I turn the radio on. Why? Does God want us to live a life of just, I just kind of go through my habit? No, God doesn't want us to live habitual lives, thoughtless lives. God wants us to think about what we're doing. So let's take a minute just to stop and say, why do I turn on the radio? Why do I ask Siri to play this? Why do I pop that CD or cassette tape or vinyl record? Why do I use music in my life? And perhaps as we come through some of these purposes, God will shine some light in some areas of our life that perhaps we're not on the mark. Perhaps we're missing the mark in some of these areas. So let's jump in. Why does God give music? First, let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Tonight will be a night of exercise for your thumbs in your Bible. But grab you a hymnal. Would you do that too? Grab a hymnal. If you can manage that, a Bible on one leg and a hymnal on another. Isaiah chapter 14. This passage is talking about the triumph of God over Babylon. It sounds like a theme right out of the book of Revelation. And Satan is involved in that king of Babylon. And God's triumphing over him. Look in verse 7. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. I like that verse. I'm a parent of young children. I like it when the house is restful, when it's quiet. What do? They break forth into singing. Sometimes that happens in my house. It's quiet, and then all of a sudden you just hear a voice start singing something. So, first purpose, God gives music for enjoyment. God gives music for enjoyment. And maybe this is what we use music most for, because we like it. We enjoy listening to music. We like to turn on Beethoven's Fifth Symphony and listen to the orchestra just go at it. We like to hear a chorus sing. We like to sing ourselves. We like to hear each other sing, most of us. Let me ask you, when someone is singing, when someone's whistling a tune, are they generally happy, sad, or in between? Generally, you don't see, they're whistling down the hallway, and you say, hey, how are you doing today? Oh, today is, no. Someone's whistling, someone's singing a song, generally they're happy, aren't they? There's just a joy of life in them, and they're expressing it through song. You know, we might sing around a piano after supper with friends. We might pay money to go to a concert and enjoy beautiful sounds of instruments and voices blending their sounds together and just sit there and enjoy it. Enjoy rest. In Isaiah 14, the people of the earth are at rest now. It's quiet. And because we can't stand quiet, they break forth into singing. They're happy. There's rest, there's peace, and they start to sing. We might be out mowing the lawn, cleaning the floors, and we're just humming some tune just for the sheer enjoyment of it. We just enjoy music. Just as a caution, when we seek to enjoy music apart from God, it's useless. Listening to music is not going to fill a void in your life, although many try to do it. If you're doing it without God, it's going to be worthless. King Solomon tells us that in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. He said, I gathered me silver, also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings in the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. Solomon got himself a symphony orchestra, and he got a symphonic choir to go along with it. And he listened to all of that music. And at the end of the chapter, behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. There's no profit under the sun. It was fun for a while, but after a while, I got tired of those altos. They're always flat, and the tenors, they're just a little shrill. You know, it wasn't perfect. He got tired of it. Seeking to fill some void in our life without God, using music, people do that. I see a lot of people with earbuds on that are trying to drown out the noise of life, trying to mask the emptiness of their soul, and they're listening to music just to kind of cover it all up. Music might provide pleasure, but without God, it's not going to. Music cannot undo the greater issues of life. Music can be a fantasy world where you live for 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 22 minutes, however long the piece lasts, and you live there for a while, and then you come back, and the issues of life are just as real as they were when the piece started. Isaiah chapter 5, God is saying, woe to them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, and that continue until night, till wane and flame them. And the harp, and the viol, and the tabret, and the pipe, and wine are in their feasts. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge. God said, my people are partying it up, and they're listening to all kinds of music, but it's not undoing the greater issues of life. they're going to go off into captivity because of their sin. They're not considering what I'm doing. And music's not going to mask that forever. So, let me ask you, what do you enjoy in your music? Music was given to us, I believe, for enjoyment. We can enjoy music. God enjoys music. What do we enjoy in our music? Turn with me, number 347 in your hymn book. I had the wrong hymn book up here. That's not going to help me. 347. Interesting music. Tornado warning? All right. Tell Amber we'll call her later. So, number 347. What do you enjoy in your music? Let's sing this. Verse 1. Miss Esther, if you give us an introduction. 347. Let's sing the first verse together. And enjoy it.
Home to Zion we are bound. Peace abiding we have found. Happy in the love of Jesus. Happy, happy, singing all the way. Happy all the day. Happy, happy, happy in the love of Jesus.
Yeah, it is okay to enjoy music. It is. It's okay to come to choir practice and enjoy practicing. Amen. Plug there for the choir director. First reason, enjoyment. God gave us music to enjoy it. So enjoy music. Secondly, for instruction. In the Bible, you find music used for instruction. Would you turn to Isaiah 23? Isaiah 23. There are hundreds of verses that you could look through Scripture and find music and songs and singing and all the things that are wrapped up into music. God gives us music for instruction. And I'm going to read you a verse out of Deuteronomy 31. God tells Moses, "Now therefore write ye this song for you and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel." God told Moses, write this song and teach it to the Israelites. So that way, one day, they're going to be singing it, and it's going to be a witness between me and them. There was instruction that God wanted to give the nation of Israel, and God said, Moses, write a song and teach it to them. Music has incredible power to teach. Can you remember songs from Sunday school that you learned 1, 2, 3, 7 decades ago? She can't remember what she wore 2 days ago. We all learned songs when we were kids, and they stuck like glue. I've been in a lot of nursing home services. Sometimes you see an older man or older lady. She can't remember your name, but you can see their face brighten and their mouth sing along with the old familiar hymns. And they know every word of every verse. That astounds me. Music has incredible power to instruct and to teach. Studies tell us that children who take music classes, they show greatly enhanced memory skill. So parents, put your kids in music. Get them in music. They're going to learn. They're going to develop. Anecdotal evidence shows musicians who practice, they develop increased ability to focus on a task. Why? Because they've done that all day long, hours a day, hours. They practice for hours a day, and they get that one little spot in the music just right, and they can focus on it. And then they take that to math class, and they turn their brain off. But they could focus if they decided to. And so there's just some anecdotal evidence there. Memorizing scripture. Do you know some scripture songs? Perhaps you learn first of God's love, not from "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son," but perhaps you learned it in a song. Turn to 736. 736. Actually, don't turn there. Close your hymn book. Miss Esther, give us her introduction. You know it. This is Psalm 89, verse 1.
I will sing of the mercies.
Amen. Most of y'all, you were looking at me. I saw almost every mouth moving tonight. You remember that. Did you learn of God's mercies in prose, in text form? Or do you remember hearing that song and thinking of God's mercies that have been shown to you new every morning? Handel's Messiah. Big piece of music. A lot of scripture. It's scripture over, it's the text of it is scripture. When I think of certain verses, I would not have them memorized, but I've heard the Handel's Messiah dozens, scores of times. Every time I come to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, I don't think, comfort ye my people, saith your God. I think, comfort ye my people, saith your God, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. And it repeats, speak ye comfortably. And cry unto her, let her warfare. See, it sticks. Music sticks in your mind. And one reason is because the left side of your brain thinks in speech and patterns. 90% of us, our speech faculties are in the left side of our brain. If you're left-handed, 70% of us have in our left hand. So left-handers, there's 30% of you that have your speech over here. But that aside, music, there's rhythm. That's the timing of it. There's pitch, what note it is on the page. There's intonation, whether that pitch is correct or it's incorrect. There's not a lot of options. And the words, all of those come tied together in music, and it uses so much of your brain. If you would like to pay to do this, go have a brain scan done while you are singing or listening to music, and you'll see your brain light up all over the place. Why? Because our brain processes music differently than it processes text. And that's why if you use music, it sticks. Because so much of our brain is being used, not just one little thimbleful. Music has incredible power to teach. Music has incredible power to heal. Do you remember Gabrielle Giffords? She was a U.S. House representative from Arizona. And 11 years ago, she was at a political rally, and someone tried to assassinate her. And they fired a gun, and the bullet went through her near her left eye and went through the left part of her brain and out the back of her head, not touching the right side of her brain. She survived, and her brain, as you can imagine, was severely damaged. When she awoke, she was partially paralyzed, and she was unable to speak. Speech faculties being gone. She got together with a music therapist, and eventually she was able to regain some measure of speech. And what the therapist did is they played songs with lyrics that Gifford had known in the past, and she listened to it, and eventually her brain relearned how to connect the dots to speak again. Music's complex. It uses so much of our brain, and the therapist were able to, as it were, reroute the traffic that used to go through the left part of her brain, reroute it from a different area and get it back to where it needed to go so that way she could talk again. Music can do that. It can be a great aid in learning. God's the one who built our brain. It's amazing what man has figured out. Hey, this can be done. And our brain is neuroplastic. That's the word, neuroplasticity, where your brain is always, till the day you die, your brain is able to form new connections and your brain is able to change. That's why we have in Romans, this is not in my notes, Romans chapter 12, hey, renew your mind. That's what it is. You used to think this way now. Think Bible, think God's way. You can change the way that you think. Music can help with that. Music has such power to teach, it has such power to heal. Isaiah chapter 23, verse 16, here's an interesting verse about music in the Bible. Take on harp, go about the city, thou harlot that has been forgotten, make sweet melody, sing many songs, that thou mayest be remembered. Do you see the challenge God is giving? This is the city of Tyre that's being destroyed and Tarshish, and just God was sending them judgment, and God says, hey, go get a harp and go play and sing in the streets so people can remember you, because they've all forgotten you. He said, tap into music's ability to be remembered and music's ability to teach. And use that. I mean, it's not really for good here, but God says, hey, God recognizes it, that music has power to teach. Look in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, music's instructive ability is put to work in the New Testament. Colossians 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching how? Well, in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. Use music to teach the word of God. So let me ask you, what do you teach in your music? What do you teach? Well, the Bible tells us teach the word of God, teach the word of Christ. Someone find me a hymn that's in the hymnal that teaches the word of God. Obviously not in its entirety. That would be a long song. But find a song that has the word of God in it that would instruct us of it. I know you're being bashful because you could find hundreds of examples. Pastor Chambers. Amen. New mercies every morning. Right out of Lamentations, isn't it? Lamentations chapter 3. Good. Someone else. It teaches us of the promises of God that we can cling to. The word of Christ should be taught in our music. We should have the word of God. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. There's a psalm. There's the word of God set to music, and it's teaching us what? My decision, I'm going to sing of God's mercies. With my mouth, I'm going to tell his faithfulness to everybody. So what do you teach in your music? We should teach the word of Christ. Who do you teach in your music? According to this verse, who do you teach in your music? One another. Doesn't it say that? Teaching and admonishing one another. In what ways here at church do we teach each other and admonish one another in song? In what ways? Adam. Choir. If you're not in choir, and I realize half the church is, amen. If you're not in choir, have you ever been taught or admonished? Have you ever been blessed by the choir number? I use the word blessed. Maybe we should separate that back out. Have you been taught or encouraged or strengthened by a choir number? I have, and I'm not in the choir. What about special music? Hasn't someone gotten up here and sang a solo or a quartet or a duet or something, and you listened to it, and God convicted you about something? Maybe it was about a bad attitude. Maybe it was about sin in your life. I don't know what it might have been, but hasn't God used song to admonish and to teach? Yes. Who do we teach in intermission? We should teach each other. What about how do we teach? Well, the verse ends, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. If you don't have God's grace in your heart, let somebody else sing. Okay, don't spoil it for the rest of us. Just say, you know what, I'm going to take a sabbatical and I'm just not going to sing. Get God's grace in your heart. Come on, people. If you don't have God's grace in your heart, you're spoiling it. So come to church with God's grace, ready to teach and to admonish each other. You know, we teach each other even in congregational singing. I remember one time someone in the choir said, we turned to this song. This was years ago. We turned to this song and I just didn't feel like singing that song today. It's not my cup of tea kind of song. And you know, we get it up there and we just kind of... And they said they looked over at someone else who was just giving it their all in the song. And they said, you know what? Self, stop it. Get with the program. And that song became a blessing to him. You know, that is one way to admonish someone else, is your enthusiastic singing. Then this is a plug from the song leader here. Your enthusiastic singing is a blessing to someone else. It's not just, let's sing loud so that way, you know, we can sing loud. The rafters here do not need to be rattled. Sing loud and sing boisterously and vigorously. Why? Because you will be a blessing to someone else who's struggling today, who doesn't feel like singing today. And you can be a blessing and admonish them and help them. Where do you teach your music? Well, I would say everywhere. But specifically, the Bible talks in 1 Corinthians 14, talks about doing it in the church. Paul writes, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm? They're singing. Hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. So God says, when you get together, singing's part of it. Sing together. And when you do it, let's do it to edifying. Let's do it to build up people. A healthy, hearty singing of a song does a lot to encourage other people. Number 362 in your hymnal. Number 362. Here's a song we could teach others through. Number 362. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. I would love to tell you. I would love to teach you what I think of Jesus. Let me tell you about him a little bit. Here's a song that we could instruct one another with. 362.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. No other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
Amen. Isn't that a song of instruction where I can edify you through it? Good. Job chapter 30. We're moving on to number 3, and there's only 4. Be encouraged. Why music? Why should we do music, use music? Well, to enjoy it. God gave music for us to enjoy. God gave music to instruct us. He wants to take music and how he built the brain, and he wants to put that together and use it for great good in our life. We're not really talking about it tonight, but there's others who would like to use that for great evil. So beware of that power, but use it for good. Thirdly, God gave us music as a way to express our feelings, express our thoughts. Music is for expression. So what do you express in your music? What does your music express? Usually when someone writes a piece of music, they want to express something. They're not just writing words down. There's something they want to express. And the words and the music that they choose, they orchestrate it, they pick the rhythm and the harmony and the melody, and they want to express something. And if they're good at what they do express it. You can tell the difference between a sad song and a happy song, can't you? A song that you'd put on, if you're feeling down and you want to feel upbeat, you could put that song on, but if you're upbeat and you want to feel down, you put on a different kind of song. if any man is merry, let him what? Sing a psalm. Get that serious mind back going. So yes, expression. As many emotions as there are, there's a song for it out there. So what do you express in your music? There's two things that I found a number of Bible verses talking about. Job chapter 30, verse 31 is one of them. My harp, Job says, my harp also is turned to mourning, and my organ into the voice of them that weep. Grief is something you can express with music. Sometimes it's hard to know how to express grief. And I believe God gave us music as one way to do that. 2 Chronicles chapter 35 says, Jeremiah lamented for King Josiah, and all the singing men and the singing women spake of Josiah in their lamentations to this day. There's a book in the Bible, poetry book, is it not? Called Lamentations. Sometimes it's not appropriate, though, to sing. Proverbs, this is just a side note. Proverbs 25:20, as he that taketh away a garment in cold weather and as vinegar and nitre, that's not good. So is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. There's an appointed time, an appointed season. Sometimes it's not the right time to say, hey, buddy, let's just cheer up and sing when someone's grieving. But what do you grieve in your music? Do you express? Hymn 428. What do you express there? Hymn 428 is the song, Does Jesus Care? Does Jesus Care? I would like to notice that a Christian can grieve his sin through song. There are songs of repentance. And look in verse 3. Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long. There's sorrow for sin there. There's grief for sin. Let's sing together on the last. Boy, just grieving the sorrow of death. Let's sing together.
Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him? Does he see?
But the songwriter, like virtually everyone who laments in Scripture, doesn't leave it at grief. Always turns the focus back to God. So let's sing that chorus.
Oh, yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares.
We can express grief through our song. We can express victory through our singing. I find a lot of references in the Bible about singing in triumph. Exodus 15 was one. Exodus 15:21, Miriam was singing the chorus. After the Red Sea had been parted, and the children of Israel ran over, and then the Red Sea was departed, and all of the Egyptians were drowned. And Moses sings a song of victory. And Miriam sings in response, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. I would like to have heard that song. Throw him in again. You know, I don't know how, but that was the chorus there. Sing to the Lord because he has triumphed. 1 Samuel 18, David and Saul were out fighting, and they came back, and all the women came out of the cities, and they were singing, and they said, hey, Saul has killed his thousands, but David, he has killed his 10,000s. And they came out with tabrets and joy and with instruments of music. 2 Samuel chapter 22, David wrote a song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul, and he wrote a song that had 51 verses in it. I'm sorry, 50 verses. The first one was just introductory. 50 verses in that song. Now, I don't know how many pages of scroll that took up, but he wrote the whole chapter, the rest of the chapter is his song. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. We can sing, we can express victory in our singing. Number 812, if you need it, victory in Jesus. Let's just sing the chorus. Number 812. On the chorus, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. With his redeeming blood, he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Yes, God gave us music for expression. We can express grief, we can express victory, and 100 other emotions we might have. Lastly tonight, I would like to see God gave us music for worship. For worship. Perhaps that would have been the first thing had we taken a poll. What is music for? And you said, well, that's for worship of God. And it is. The pagans also use music to worship. Daniel chapter 3. Would you turn there? Daniel chapter 3. Remember the story of Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar had set up a golden image on the plain and invited the whole country to come together and worship the image that he's created. And what did they use in their worship service? Look in verse 5. That at the time ye hear the sound of the orchestra, cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And we have the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And music was used in worship, in pagan worship. The natural man worships with music. Many of the best music groups in the world, and I'm talking professional-wise, many of them began as religious groups. Some of them are still religious groups, part of different churches and such. False gods are worshipped with music. Why? Well, God gave man music, and then man created God in his own image, and then man said, well, he probably likes music then, so we'll worship him with music. And we kind of like it too. Man worships himself with music. Don't check out the top 100 Billboard hits this week. Number one, I'll just tell you. Number one, the title is Unholy. What does that tell you? The name of it should tell you that I'm going to keep that out of my life. Right and left, these songs that man worships himself with, they glorify fornication, living in lies, displaying lust, expressing regret, all kinds of things and sorrows that the world sings about. That a Christian, we have a God to worship. I'm not the God of my life. I don't have to worry. I'm not worshiping myself. I'm not going to worship my desire, my lusts. I'm not going to sing about, I'm going to sing about God. The pagan man worships with music. The saints praise and worship God through music. All through the Old Testament, you find music used. David, when he wanted to bring back the Ark of the Covenant from the Philistines, he lined up an orchestra. It was more of a marching band because they were moving. But they put the Ark of the Covenant on the cart, and the marching band came along behind, and they were singing and they were playing, and then Uzzah steadied the cart and died before God, and the music died off. Well, David figured out, hey, what's going on? What's wrong here? Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 15. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. David did some investigative work, did some soul searching, talked to the Lord, and found out he had been doing it the wrong way. He needed to get his ducks in a row with God spiritually, and then he went to go get the Ark of the Covenant again. And look in verse 28. 1 Chronicles 15, 28. Thus all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the cornet and with trumpets and cymbals, making a noise with the psalteries and harps. I don't know the difference between the sound and the noise. I don't really know the difference there. But either way, the orchestra got back together and they played again because they're worshiping, they're celebrating what's going on. Look in chapter 16, they brought the Ark of God and they set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. David offered offerings. And look in verse 4, David appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Verse 5, Asaph the chief, next to him, and there's a list of folks, and Jael with psalteries and with harps, but Asaph made a sound with the cymbals. Verse 6, there's priests with trumpets continually before the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 7, then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his chief brethren. And here's the song. Give thanks unto the Lord, a call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. David appointed musicians, wrote a song to worship God and to commemorate that day. He had prepared it. He wrote it out. And then on that day, he said, all right, Asaph, would you sing this? Well, Asaph had the cymbals. Would you play this and have your singers sing this and you can play the cymbals? And they worshiped God. In words and in music, God can be worshiped. The book of Psalms, 150 songs of praise to the Lord. So let me ask you, who do you worship in your music? The question about expression, what do you express in your music? How do you enjoy your music? Here, who do you worship in your music? What do you teach in your music? Turn to hymn number 11, and we'll close with this. Of course, we all know the right answer. Even the songwriter did. Oh, worship the King. But I wanted to ask you tonight, just before we sing that, who do you worship? When you look at your, take an honest look at what you listen to. I'm not talking tonight about styles and genres and bands and performers and artists. Who do you worship in your music? What does your music express? What do you enjoy in your music? What does your music teach, or what do you teach in your music, and how do you teach in your music, and who do you teach in your music, and where do you teach in your music? Let's sing together, number 11, O Worship the King.
O worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his power and his love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
May everything we listen to this week, by choice, be songs that will bring worship to God.